This is an ABC podcast.
Oh, it's just, I don't know, it's fun. I'm so proud. Yeah, excited. Yeah, it's hard to put it into words.
That's Penrith coach Ivan Cleary doing what he does, being understated and low-key after the Panthers served up back-to-back premierships. He almost sounds bored. Sports fans are always looking for a new thing, which is what makes this boring excellence so special. In an age of TikTok attention spans, Penrith is serving up a long-form masterpiece. And to hear from Ivan and his son Nathan, it sounds like there's a fair bit more to come.
Yeah, I'll be putting my hand up for it for sure. Let's go.
I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Emma Lawrence is part of Channel 9's rugby league team. She was at Sydney's Homebush Stadium for the Panthers' rout of Parramatta. She lives and breathes rugby league. 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. Emma, you're a humble person, but what I know about you is that people tell you things they maybe shouldn't. What is it behind the scenes that Ivan Cleary is doing that has this Penrith team just so far clear of the competition?
Oh, Stacky, I think if it was a simple answer, everyone would be doing it. But I think they honestly just seem just a cut above everyone else at the moment. I just personally can see them being dominant for the next 5 years at least. And it's just all of those little effort areas, all of those little one percenters that they're doing, all of, you know, getting up on their kick chase. Every single person is doing their job. You never see one player on the field being lazy. You see that at training as well. They do everything as a group. They're connected. You get this vibe when you're around them, Stacky, whether you're at a game or training, that it's almost like they're unstoppable. Honestly, there's this aura when you're around them. And I haven't seen that from another side in the NRL for, I think, as long as I've been covering it, which is probably almost 10 years now. It's incredible.
I thought it was really interesting that maybe the most emotive moment he had in the coach's box during the game, maybe even during the season, was not any of the tries, but it was when Dylan Edwards reeled in Bailey Simonson.
Now the Eels, Campbell Gillard, hit and spin with a pass back to Reid Marnie. Puts in a left field, cross field kick. Brilliantly done. He's over the halfway line. Edwards to beat. What a tackle, Dylan Edwards. Scott Sattler. You might have just been beaten by Dylan Edwards. That was an amazing cover tackle by Dylan Edwards.
Do you think that speaks to what Cleary values?
Absolutely. So I think it's, as I said, all about effort. And Dylan Edwards, if he had started chasing that second later, he might not have got there, but he just never gave up. And Ivan's that type after a win. As you said, he never really gets that excited, even after the game. You know, I saw him down there and he's happy and he's smiling with fans, but it's not, he's not exploding with emotion, and he's just won back-to-back premierships. But that definitely was the most emotion we saw from him.
You know what, like cover tackles, like it's just, yeah, it was a little moment in the game where we were up 22-0, I think. They were starting to throw some good stuff at us and, you know, yeah, old mate at the back here, just been doing it all year. So it's just a great moment.
It just speaks a lot about his love for and appreciation for Dylan Edwards, because in this team, you know, Nathan Cleary gets a lot of the accolades because he's the, you know, the star halfback. And there's always a lot of attention on the halfback, but then even Jerome Luai, Isaiah Yeo. But Dylan Edwards over the last few years has just slowly flown under the radar. He was their player of the year this year. He's the fittest guy and has been the fittest guy in the club since he's been there, breaking records each and every year. So I think for Ivan, that was this sense of, yes, like, Dil, that's your moment. That's what you've been working for. And we were saying it on the sideline when I was sitting with my colleagues at Channel 9. We were saying that there, that tackle is going to get him the Clive Churchill medal. And it did. And I think Ivan probably realised that in that moment as well.
From the Penrith Panthers, Dylan Edwards.
I wonder how much the coaches positively infected this team with humility. We saw Edwards being teased by Nathan Cleary post-match for his refusal to take any praise for his best-of-field performance.
It's credit to the rest of the team. They make my job incredibly easy. And
boring.
No, it's true.
I mean, you've covered this team extensively. Is it a humble group, or am I doing that thing where a journalist equates success with positive character traits?
No, 100% they are. And you know what? So last year there was that drama that went on. So they had a bit of a scuffle with the Raiders, and the Raiders management came out and called the Panthers arrogant. But you know what? When they're on the field, sure, they can get a little bit niggly. A few of them, Jerome Luai, can get niggly. There's a bit of chat. But off the field, I would probably say they are the most humble of any group in the NRL. And that's not to say that all of the other teams aren't, but they are so down to earth, so polite. Every time you deal with them for an interview, address you by name, remember what's going on in your life, ask about a certain game you covered. They're just, at the end of the day, they're just these young kids that all grew up together in Western Sydney that are living their dream together. So it is pretty cool to see. And I think a lot of that, the humility, comes from Ivan.
Our club is very aligned. Everybody is their own person, but we're all woven together by a common thread of doing our best for the club.
We said he doesn't show a lot of emotion, but he and his wife, Beck, they're sort of second parents to a lot of the players there. So a lot of them came through the grades together playing SG Ball, which is under 18s, Jersey Flag, which is under 20s. And I know Beck and Ivan, at times they'd have big groups of the boys over their house and take them in as if they're their own kids. So I feel like it's one big family at Penrith, and they've all kind of adopted those values. And I guess it is easy to say because they've won and it suits the story, but honestly, having covered them for a while now, I genuinely believe that is the case.
Emma, you know, I, like others in the media, I'm a touch basic. And the basic question is around dynasty. Are we watching a dynasty in real time? Because it was a question the coach refused to bite on.
Yeah, we just take one day at a time, so we're not going to give a about next year.
You've covered the great Storm teams. You've covered the Roosters back-to-back titles. Is there something about this Panthers side that feels like they're even a cut above those kind of teams?
100%. And, you know, he wasn't just asked about it post-match. He was asked about it before the match at the captain's run. The answer is yes, from my point of view, for a number of reasons. I think if you look at their junior pathways, they've got talent coming through. So they won the SG Bull, Jersey Flag and New South Wales Cup, and then the NRL.
It's been unbelievable season for our club. Like, I just, you know, it's never been done before, I don't think, four grades, and it's hard to put that into words other than to say how, yeah, I'm sure proud we all are.
So no team in 113 years has ever done the clean sweep of all four grades. So that just speaks volumes about the depth at Penrith, and they've got a huge junior nursery, and Phil Gould in his time there did a lot of work to help set that up, so he certainly deserves some credit for that. So they've got the players coming through, and of course you can never keep all of them because of salary cap pressures, but they've got that junior base there and they've got the stars there that don't seem like leaving anytime soon. Like Nathan Cleary, he'll be a Panther for life.
Thank you so much. So blessed to represent Penrith and can't wait to party with you all.
You know, a couple have been forced out, Api Korosau, Viliami Kikau, because of salary cap pressures, but they're not losing too many of their stars that I think it will affect them. So the Storm have been the most dominant team over the last 20 years. So it's a big call to say they can rival the Storm, but I'm prepared to say that they can do it.
If Ivan is the brains and soul and heart of this team behind the scenes, in terms of on-field, is it mini Ivan, aka Nathan, who is so central to the enduring excellence of this group?
Yeah, absolutely. And to be fair, what the Panthers did well this year, I think, so Nathan was injured for a period at the beginning, and then he also got suspended towards the back end for 5 weeks. And I think many thought, okay, no, Nathan, that really affects the Panthers' chances. But one thing they did do well, again, that whole next up mentality in the systems, anyone who came in, like Sean O'Sullivan, hasn't played a lot of first grade, and he did his job so well.
Still alive in the last. Isaac Tungol off to Taylan May. Back on the inside here for O'Sullivan, who can slot in and score again.
But in saying that, like, Nathan just controls everything. And even going back, would have been even last year, so Andrew Johns said, so he's the eighth immortal. There's no better praise you can get than Andrew Johns saying this. He said that Nathan Cleary will end up being the best halfback we've ever seen, better than Jonathan Thurston, better than himself. And that's when Nathan was still at the time only 24 years old. So it's a big call. And of course, ever since he came through the grades, having the surname Cleary, there was going to be a lot of pressure on him, but he's delivered in all of the big moments now. He's delivered in two grand finals. He's delivered on the State of Origin stage. And he's still so young. He's still got at least 7 years left in him. It's incredible. As long as Nathan Cleary's there, I think if you're a Panthers fan, you're in pretty safe hands.
One question on the Eels. Did their window just close or is it still open just for now?
Yeah, that's something that everyone was asking all year. And I think the players got sick of answering it because, well, they obviously don't think it's closed. So they are losing Isaiah Papali'i, Reid Marnie. They're their two key ones. Also losing Murata Niokore, Oregon Kafusi, Tom Opacek and Ray Stone. So sort of about six of their regular first graders. I mean, they've made the finals for the last sort of 5 years in a row, final six or final four. They've been there and abouts. And yes, they are losing a couple of players, but the fact that all of their players that are still there, Mitch Moses, Clint Gutherson, Junior Paolo, like have all now played in a grand final, they'll be so much better for that experience. So, I mean, I don't know necessarily buy into the fact that the window is over. It's going to be tough for any team because I think the competition is the Panthers to lose over the next few years as well. But for the Eels, I think it was so great just to see Brad Arthur make a grand final because going back only 6 weeks ago, many were saying that his job was on the line if they didn't make the top four because he's been there for 8 years and hasn't delivered a premiership. So I was happy to see Brad Arthur get them into a grand final. It's a brutal world, the world of coaching, that's for sure.
Emma Lawrence, thanks so much for taking us through the enduring, boring excellence of the Penrith Panthers.
No worries at all. It sounds boring to be excellent, doesn't it? I'm sure they don't get bored by it. I'm sure they're enjoying their celebrations. And it almost felt as if, not that it wasn't special, but just, oh, yeah, the Panthers won. I certainly felt like that anyway because it's like we just expected it. But
siren, whistle, premiership. They've gone back to back.
Congratulations to them. I'm sure they're absolutely loving it. And, yeah, thanks for having me on.
Headlines. The celebrations are continuing in Newcastle after the Knights claimed their first NRLW crown. Tamika Upton's hand must be worn out from all the high fives after her stunning performance for the Novocastrians in a best-on-field performance.
From Higgins to Dib, Upton goes for the line herself. Angled run, slides in to score. She sees gaps so early, so big, she goes straight through them and the Newcastle fullback has scored to make it 18-6, kick to come.
What a weapon. North Melbourne fans are bracing for a tense trade period after number one draft pick Jason Horne-Francis requested a trade to Port Adelaide. The South Australian is contracted to the Kangaroos for another season, but it now becomes a question of if they want to trade him now and get something or risk possibly getting nothing at the end of 2023. It's poker, only Aussie rules, and we can see the Kangas cards, and they appear to be bad cards. And Daniel Ricciardo has finished fifth at the Singapore Grand Prix, his best effort of the 2022 season. His teammate Lando Norris finished fourth in a wet drive. It was a chaotic race. Sergio Perez took it out. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Poppy Penny. Hey, have you heard of The W with Sharni and Sam? It's our AFLW podcast. It's really good. It's excellent. Sharni Norder, she played netball for Australia, then went to the AFLW, had a huge impact at Collingwood. And Sam Lane is a weapon, an award-winning journalist and a cracking host. Really worth a listen. Go over and check it out on the Listen app. It's called The W with Sharni and Sam.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.